I preached a series of messages on the ministers of Jesus back a few months ago, and took a break in that and preached on some other series. And last time I come back to that, and this morning is preaching on another series of Jesus' ministry, and this one being in Luke chapter 2, where Jesus and his mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem for their yearly feast of the Passover. And that's why I entitled this, "In My Father's House." And through this message, we'll understand why Jesus did not choose to go back to Nazareth with his Joseph and Mary. He stayed behind. And the response that he gave to Mary and Joseph when they came looking for him, that he was about the things of the Father. If you read the different translations, some of them say, I was about my Father's business. I think in the KJV or New KJV, and others is saying that the literal original translation is, "I'm about the things of my Father." And so I want us to, in this message, get a understanding of what Jesus' obedience to the Father. He made it his business. He was obedient in every area of his life, listening to the Father. Jesus said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do." And if we could do that ourselves, wouldn't we be a lot better in our area of serving him and our outlook and our witnessing for the Lord? So if you would join with me and look at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41, then we will begin our message on "In My Father's House." Now, Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. They had customs, they had rituals, they had traditions that they practiced. Verse 43, "And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days," and that full number of days ends up to be around 7 days, okay, of the Feast of the Passover. It begins on the Jewish calendar around 15th of Nisan, and then on the 17th of Nisan, that's the Jewish calendar. But they was there 7 days celebrating the Feast of the Passover. And then verse 44, "But suppose him," Jesus, "to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for Jesus among the relatives and acquaintance. When they did not find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days," now by that time I guess Mary was kind of just going out of her mind. "What happened to my son, my Jesus?" "Then after 3 days they found him in the temple," and that's the Father's house, "sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And after who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him," when his parents saw him, "they were astonished, and his mother said to Jesus, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. In verse 49 was Jesus' answer. And Jesus said to Joseph and Mary, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Now, I want to read the last three verses to give you a caption on this passage of Scripture. But Joseph and Mary did not understand the statement which Jesus had made to them. For he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. He was submissive to them in everything. And his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, to insert some other scriptures and another character in the Bible that maintained this kind of witness in his life, I want us to look at the Apostle Paul. He once said, and this is in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Now, looking at Paul's life, the most important thing in his life, second only to worshiping Christ, was preaching the gospel. And he stated that he was compelled, here in this passage of Scripture, he was compelled to preach, meaning that he was driven by the irresistible influence in his life. And I can relate to that. When God called me, that's what I want to do. I was compelled. It was irresistible to be obedient to the Lord. And to this day, that's what I have been doing, and to the day I die, that's what I'll be doing as well. Not only preaching, but teaching and witnessing as Jesus did himself. And that's why he was in the Father's house. He was witnessing. He was teaching, and he was answering questions, and he was laying wisdom upon these spiritual leaders, which knew the scrolls, the Scripture, the Old Testament. They knew it. And Paul felt compelled to do the very thing that Jesus was led to do himself, which is to be involved in the things of the Father, of preaching and teaching. And Paul said, in the gladness tidings of good things, in Romans 10:15, he said, that's what it's all about, preaching the good tidings of the gospel of Christ. And that's from Romans 10:15. That is the sharing the good news of the gospel. Now, I know where CEF got their good news club, right? It is good news. It is good news, and we start that this week. So Paul shared only simple messages of Jesus Christ. He didn't try to preach over them or use high words or intellect, which he could have, but he kept it simple. And he preached Jesus' life and Jesus' miracles. He preached him crucified, his death, his atonement on the cross, and his resurrection. That's what Paul preached and he taught, and that's what we are to do today, to keep it simple and teach these practical things to people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in our message today, we will see how Jesus personally demonstrated the primary task that is expected of all of us, all Christians, which is sharing the clear message of the salvation found in the Messiah, which was translated and foretold from the Old Testament to the New of Jesus Christ himself. So let's look at Joseph and Mary's upheld the custom. This was every year they went to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Passover. In the book of Luke, we find the only account wherein the Bible portrayed Jesus during his childhood. Now, especially at the age of 12. Jesus was 12 at this time when they went back to Jerusalem for the Passover, and that lasted 7 days. And we read here that his parents went to the Passover feast held in Jerusalem. That's what it tells us in our text. Taking Jesus alone, and when they departed, when they left to go back, Jesus decided he wasn't going along with them because he wanted to be about the things of his Father. The things that God had laid upon his heart, he came to earth to do the things of the Father. And his parents, they went the entire day journey before they even realized that he was missing in verse 44. Now, normally, when you leave, you go back home, you make sure you got everything intact, right? The kids and everything's in the car, right? That can happen. But they was with a host of families and acquaintances, and this was like a caravan of people going and coming back. And, you know, there had to be other little boys and girls and everything with Jesus was playing with and so forth. And that's practical, and that's normal for families to think, okay, well, everybody's together again. We go back together. Well, that didn't happen this particular time. So Luke testified that his parents went to Jerusalem every year. And that's verse 41. And they went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. So there was rituals, there was traditions and practices that they did every year. And that's what was involved in these 7 days of the Feast of the Passover. And these statements hint the customs and traditions. And Luke says, when they had finished, they returned. Verse 43, they went and they left following the same routine every year, each year and every year they went. However, Jesus understood that the Father's time with him involved more than just rituals and traditions and practices that they did. Jesus was looking for more. He wanted to be more involved in the Father's business, or the things of the Father, as I said before, rather than routines and traditions of that every year. So next, Luke said, and Joseph and Mary, supposing Jesus have been in their company. In verse 43-44. Joseph and Mary thought that he would follow them exact plan that they went and they come back, but that didn't happen that way. So they sought Jesus where? When they saw that Jesus wasn't with everyone else and wasn't with them, where was Jesus? What they were thinking, well, we know he went with us, but now he's not with us. So where would he be? Well, among their relatives and acquaintances? No. Joseph and Mary, with their own family and friends, thought that Jesus would do the same thing as everyone else. So this made me think this morning, you know, we get caught up in rituals and traditions and everything in our lives and everything. But how many times do we fail to be involved in the Father's time, the things of the Father, the Heavenly Father, because our priorities is to stick with our own things, our own company, our own group, to maintain our way of doing things. So if we're not careful, I was thinking, if we're not careful, we can become inward focused and fail to look beyond the church walls to where people who are not in our presence, you know, who really need Jesus. And that's what was on Jesus' mind, reaching people for the Lord. He was the answer. So next, Jesus focused on the things of his Father. And this is what I want to focus on, verses 45-49. And just kind of give you an introduction of why they went to the Feast of the Passover. And that was very important because that was celebrated because of the Egyptians were in captivity for many, many, many years, but God released them and brought them back to the promised land so that they could have their freedom to worship him and not in captivity as they were for over 400 something years or more. So now Mary and Joseph finally realized their son was missing, and they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And when they found him, he was sitting inside the temple. And that's why Jesus said, "Don't you know that I'm about my Father's ministry?" And what was Jesus doing? He was talking to the teachers of the law and asked him, "Why have you done this to us?" Now, what would we say to our children? "Now, wait till you get home." Oh, no. "Why have you done this to us? Did you not know that I must be?" And this is a little translation, "in the things of my Father's house." I must be. That's in verse 49. So at this point in time, as Jesus was conversing with Mary and Joseph, Jesus reminded them that he came down from heaven. And they knew that. He was sent down from heaven. That he had a higher father than the earthly parents. That even in the early life, it was proper that he should be engaged in the work of which he had came. Even though Jesus did not enter his public work for 18 years after this event, after this took place, the work of the Heavenly Father was his work even in the childhood days. He was being prepared. He was preparing others. People were seeing him grow in wisdom and stature and all the things that astonished the people around him. So Jesus made it his purpose to be obedient for which he came down from heaven. And we know that the scripture tells us that he came to bring redemption. But he brought things into people's life, the gospel, in practical ways that it draw people. He had that charisma about him because of how he taught and how he shared the gospel, the message from the Heavenly Father, from the throne of God, to those who needed him the most. So Jesus' purpose was to be involved in the things of the Father, doing the Father's work. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." I like that one. And in John 9:4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Now, Jesus was saying there's coming to a period of time while I'm here on this earth, and Jesus was here, 33 and a half years. And that's why Jesus said, while I'm here, I'm doing the work of the Father. And he used the expression, day and night. And of course, we only have 24 hours a day. So what we do within that 24 hours and what part we use for the kingdom of God is very crucial for the state of people in this world that need Christ. So whatever we're going to do, Jesus is saying, whatever we're going to do for the Heavenly Father, we have to do it today. You know, tomorrow, it often says, never comes, right? It doesn't. It's always today. It's always present. So Jesus is saying, whatever I'm going to do, I'm doing it today. Why it is day, while opportunity is here. And that's the way that we need to look at ministry in our own lives, as Paul looked at it, as Jesus looked at it, and as they carried it out and was obedient in every area of their life. That's what we need to do as well. So, so what did Jesus mean when he said, "I had to be in my Father's house doing the things of my Father"? Jesus said in learning, he said in teaching, the format were the greatest religious minds of his day. They knew it. They knew the Bible, they knew the laws and everything. And he said was the things of his Father. These are the things that I am to do. I am to sit amongst some of the greatest and teach them the things of heaven. That's what Jesus was saying. He said among them, listening intently and making inquiry. However, he did more than just listen and question. Luke said, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Boy, I would be too, wouldn't you? I could just sit and listen and listen and listen 24/7 if I'd been there in that day. He also provided leaders with answers. They had a lot of questions. Here, a 12-year-old boy, how many 12-year-old boys can teach and answer questions like Jesus did? They was astonished. They was amazed that he had that kind of wisdom and understanding. And they just kind of passed over that he was the Son of God, sent from heaven. And there he was in their midst teaching them what they needed to hear about the kingdom of God. This means that he not only listened and inquired, but he also spoke and taught them. Therefore, the Father's saying involved teaching and preaching. And I want us to think about this as well. For us today, this involves sharing the gospel of the message of salvation of Jesus Christ. And we have that opportunity Sunday after Sunday. We have that opportunity in the Good News Club. Our church participates with the CEL. And we preach the good news of Jesus Christ to the Good News kids. And we need to do that every day of our life in our world. Our world is right here in Ripley County. Doing the things of the Father in the Father's house. So Matthew portrayed things that Jesus did also in Matthew 4:23. There are so many scriptures here that teaches us the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus did in the Father's house, or the things that the Father sent him here on earth to do. In Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Remember last Sunday, I was talking about John the Baptist sent the disciples. Jesus said, are you the true Messiah? Are you the one that I proclaimed for all this time? And he was about to be killed, John the Baptist was. And he just wanted affirmation, confirmation. And that's why Jesus come back and said, yeah, I'm teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. That's why I came. And when the disciples went back and told John, that was good enough for him, because it was confirmation that he was preaching the forerunner, Jesus Christ, to the people. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19, Jesus declared of his own mission and purpose. And this is what he said in Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is exactly what he told the disciples to tell John. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind. To set the liberty to those who are oppressed. And then in verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. Other parts of Jesus' ministry included the Great Commission. Go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in verse 18, the Father has given me all authority here on earth and in the kingdom of God. So that was another ministry that Jesus made himself involved in while he was here on the earth as well. And then before he left, he gave that great commission to all of the disciples and us today. So in conclusion this morning, in looking at Jesus' obedience, and he was obedient in every area of his life, we see that he listened, he asked questions, he answered them. And this is an ideal model for sharing the gospel. We listen to those that need Christ. We find out exactly where they are, and we speak to them at that point. We ask questions. We answer those questions. But this ideal model for sharing the gospel, we need to first be willing to listen to a person's heart, showing our genuine care and concern. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He always showed compassion. And secondly, we should ask questions to raise reflection on their lives, and to have the person we're talking to do a self-examination. And we have to do a self-examination of our own life each day. I don't know how many days that doesn't go by that I don't do a self-examination. Lord, where am I today in your will? We all fall short of the glory of God. And we need to do that self-examination. And we need to impose upon others to do that as well, that don't know Jesus Christ, so they can know him as their personal Savior. And then thirdly, we should teach the person what the Bible has to say about Christ and repentance. whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if, you know, we ask the Lord, we believe in our hearts, confess with our lips the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can have salvation. And by the lips we confess, and by the heart we believe unto salvation. That's why Jesus came. That's why we, as two, who have received that precious gift of salvation, need to pass it on to others, just like Paul and Jesus and others did. See, that's the ministries of the church. That's the ministries, personal ministries, that God has given us, entrusted in us. That's why Paul told Timothy, guard the things that has been entrusted to you, that you use them wisely and do them for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the ministries that Jesus has taught us, for the Gospels, where we can get all the information that we need to how to talk to people, how to listen to people, how to teach them and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know we don't measure up to the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. No one can. But Lord, it shouldn't stop there. You have given us your Spirit, and your Spirit lives within us. And our spirit is teachable. And we can learn from your word exactly how we can talk and teach and listen to people who need Jesus Christ. You told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. When you get to the point that you have an opportunity, I will give you the words. I'll give you the resources to use. And you will be successful. And Lord, we all can be successful when we make ourselves available to you. And we thank you for the ministries that you provide in our lives. And we thank you for their testimony, our own witness, that, Lord, that we have personally that we can share with others. We thank you, Lord, for that. Whatever the decisions may be today of each one that is seated here in the pews, and those maybe be listening today that doesn't know you, or need maybe just think about a new relationship with you. Lord, that's an ongoing thing for us today in our lives. Being renewed daily, so that our perspective of you and what you expect for us to pass on to others will always be with the right spirit. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do when we make ourselves and this church available for your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.